I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. We're powering through the final hour of the DA show this week. DA, of course, the summer of DA continues. Off on a Friday, it's me, Mraz, with Andrew Bogish. We got a lot of baseball we're about to get into. Plus, remember, it's a Target Demo Friday. Go to Facebook.com/the DA show. Plus Twitter at CBS Sports Radio, at Mraz CBS, and at Andrew Bogish, where a terrific Target Demo meme is there, and Andrew Kaplan might be in the crossfire of others, but nonetheless, it's there. Now, Andrew Bogish, we love baseball. He's a diehard Met fan. Me being a diehard Yankee fan, as you can imagine, one of us was very excited for this next guest. The other, not so much. Jeff Nelson, four-time World Series champion, co-host of the Pinstripe Pod. Jeff, good morning. Welcome aboard. How are you?
I'm good. How do you guys work together then?
How does that work? Obviously, I understand what success is. He doesn't, so he just has to follow my lead, Jeff.
So you bring a lot of tissues then?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you should have seen this guy after Cespedes bowed out last week. He's only just getting over it now.
I guess he may never get over it.
No, I mean... No. Jeff, I've told this story on the air. When you guys, the late 90s run, the heyday of Sean's Yankee fandom, I was in college at Fordham in the Bronx, so I was like at the epicenter of the celebrating. It was taunting me. And in fact, I was covering the end of the Subway Series at Shea Stadium. I was in the Yankee clubhouse while you guys were dancing, jumping up around, spraying champagne, and trying to be professional on a personal level. My Mets just lost the World Series, so that was a long time ago, but it feels like yesterday, and I can never forgive actual Yankee players or terrible Yankee fans like Sean.
That was my favorite World Series. I mean, the city was nuts. And did you get wet? You had to get wet in the clubhouse.
I got wet. I have a cork somewhere from a champagne bottle, and I've told this story, unless I'm hallucinating. Did you guys not sing as a group "Who Knocked the Mets Out" instead of "Who Let the Dogs Out," because that was their song that whole film?
You guys wore out the Baja Men and it was nuts. I mean, every song was "Who Let the Dogs," or minute was it "Who Let the Dogs Out," but whoever came in that locker room, and it was not a great locker room, and it was very, very small.
Yes,
sure that they didn't leave dry.
We did not.
Unbelievable. Jeff Nelson, our guest here, four-time World Series champion. All right, Jeff, before we kind of go around baseball, some other odds and ends, let's start with the Yankees, as you are the co-host of the Pinstripe Pod. Big story this morning, obviously last night with the Yankees and Phillies kind of picking up their series and redoing it after it was canceled the week before, but no fans in the park, and there we are yesterday, Jordan Montgomery on the hill for the Yankees, and fans crowding around Citizens Bank Park, a small group of them, blowing foghorns or air horns Aaron Boone argued with the umpire about it, then spoke about a post game. I don't know how you feel as a pitcher in that moment. Obviously, it's a different circumstance. We're in a different world right now in Major League Baseball. You're kind of getting used to either pumped-in crowd noise or awkward silence. Would that have bothered you as a pitcher hearing the foghorn go off, and do you think Aaron Boone had a legitimate gripe?
I pitched in New York at Old Yankee Stadium for I don't know how many years, and you know if a lot more than foghorns were going off in that stadium, so you had a lot more obstacles to try to get around. So it wouldn't have bothered me. I don't know why. I guess because it was just zero noise, and it's almost like a pin drop sometimes, even though they're pumping in crowd noise to try to make it as much as a baseball game as possible. No, I don't think it would have bothered me. I don't think it would have bothered anybody else. It's just normal noise. And, heck, Philadelphia fans are worse than any fans anyway.
Jeff, I'm sure you've talked to guys who have been on the field so far this season. How are they actually experiencing this super weird atmosphere of the fan cutouts and stands, the silence, the empty buildings? Is it as weird as people thought it was going to be?
I think they kind of knew what to expect, especially going through that summer camp, that spring training 2.0. And, you know, I was like, oh, man, there's these cutout cardboard people that are in the stands. I was like, what are they doing? And the first time I saw it was at Citi Field. And actually, it probably is not bad, because at least it's a little bit better than just seeing an empty seat, even though they're not saying anything. Sometimes it's good. Like, if you're not doing well, it's good that they're not saying anything and you just keep quiet. But it is different. You know, it's, you know, they're trying to pump in the noise. And, you know, it's funny because the Yankees just did it. They play a home and away, and they're in the opposing park, just like they did the other day with the Phillies. So it is a different season. And this is something, I guess, you as an ex-player, you want it to go by as quickly as possible, and maybe 2021 will be normal.
Jeff Nelson, our guest here. Jeff, speaking of not being normal, obviously we all know what happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals and the positive tests that have come down. So Major League Baseball kind of reworking the schedule on the fly. I do give them credit for doing a lot of this. It seems like the idea of just going by winning percentage, they're going to try their hardest not to do. It gets released that the Marlins are going to play 27 games in 23 days, including, I believe it's something like 10 games within a 7-day span with 4 doubleheaders included, something like that. Do you think that it's almost unfair to these players that we are going to play that many doubleheaders and cram that many games into so few days?
Yeah, I think they have a seven game set with the Phillies in 5 days, so they'll play 2 doubleheaders against them, and that's like right in the middle of September. You know, to be fair to other teams, I think you try to get 60 games in for everyone. If they go on winning percentage, and all of a sudden maybe a team is 6 or 7 games less than that maybe second place team or whatever, I don't think that's fair. So This is part of it. I think all the owners and baseball knew what was going to happen. That's why they have this 60-man pool. And hopefully it doesn't happen again. I wish they would have implemented you couldn't leave the hotel in the beginning, because that's how some of this stuff is taken off. Whatever these guys have done, whether it's go get a coffee, mall, or casino, whatever story they want to tell. I mean, they got it somehow, and it went through the team. So now they can't leave the hotel. But they got to try to make it as fair as possible, and to try to get in at least as close to 60 games as they can. And, you know, the Marlins and the Phillies are going to wind up paying for it at the end. And, you know, it's just one of those things.
You know, Jeff, I heard Adam Ottavino, who is now a Yankee reliever, in an interview, I guess maybe 10 days ago or so, locally here in New York, talking about, you know, the fear of guys going out on the road and messing this up, which may or may not have happened with the Cardinals and the Marlins. And Adam actually said, like, he trusted the Yankees, but he knew the other teams who could be an issue. Now, he didn't name names, but would you know, like, looking around the league, like, oh, man, we need to worry, like, maybe it's Cleveland, maybe it's the White Sox, but would you have known who the teams were that would have been more apt to kind of be partier, so to speak, and break the rules and maybe kind of jeopardize this whole thing?
No, you know, athletes, whether I'm sure baseball and basketball and football's in and out. But, you know, when you go into a city, I mean, you're in a city for 3 or 4 days, and you know, it's just part of the nature of sports. Is when, okay, after a game, you hit the hotel bar to wind down, or you go out with your friends to eat, and you're just so used to doing that year after year, day after day. I mean, baseball is such a long season, and you're on the road half the time, and half your off days are on the road. So, you know, to try to get away from that and break that habit, it's tough. And I know it's 60 games, and I know, you know what, guys should just stay in their rooms and suck it up. And, you know, I would be a believer of that. And I think the teams that wind up winning and staying the healthiest are following the protocols probably closer than others. The thing that you would worry about, you know, you don't know the teams, you don't know the guys. I think sometimes players and athletes think they're bulletproof and, oh, this is not going to happen to me. You know, my guys are all good. We're all family. We're staying together. But obviously you saw the Cardinals and the Marlins, what happened with them. What I'm worried about is at the end of the season with some of these teams that are not in it, will they all of a sudden say, hey, you know, we're not going to be in the playoffs. There's 16 teams, 8 in each league. You know, let's just go out and do our normal thing like we would do in 2019. I think that's the stuff you have to worry about towards the end. I don't know about now, but maybe like the last couple weeks of the season.
Jeff Nelson, our guest here. Jeff, as a pitcher, 2020, on top of everything that's come with it and maybe the cram and rush to getting ready for the season, we have seen a lot of pitcher injuries and some big names. Justin Verlander, just the other day we saw Max Scherzer pull his hamstring a bit. Obviously, there was Clayton Kershaw at the beginning of the year. Otani now, at least from the arm standpoint, hurt. And it looks like there are 30 pitcher arm injuries and a 150% higher than record than any previous season's opening stretch right now for Major League Baseball pitcher injuries. Do you think that the ramp-up, shutdown, and then re-ramp-up is affecting these pitchers and leading to more injuries, or is this purely coincidence?
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's so tough as a pitcher, you know, to get things going in March and all of a sudden shut down and expect these guys, and a lot of them did, you know, continue to work out and throw until they finally got the call and say, hey, we're going back to spring training again. Shortened spring training, 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden you're going into a season, and when if you have an outbreak on a team, then all of a sudden the schedule's changing, you're postponing games, and you've seen some of these videos on TV as far as the Cardinals and the Marlins throwing baseballs against mattresses or ironing boards or doing whatever they can to try to stay in shape because they can't come out of the room and they're not working out. So you knew that there was going to be some significant injuries. I mean, you throw Corey Kluber's name in there with a shoulder in Texas. Tommy Canely, you know, with the Yankees, he's out. He had Tommy John, I think it was yesterday. It could be more. You know, and relievers would be a little bit maybe less only because they're so used to, hey, 10 innings and we're good. And they're sometimes used to getting up and getting down a little bit more than just a starter. But this is definitely affecting these players. And, you know, I think you got to hand it to them for them going through all this and all this shutdown, and who hopefully doesn't happen again, but it could. I mean, another team could have a breakout for some kind of mishap or not following the strict protocols.
Jeff, I know it's harder than usual to predict and project in this season, but I wanted to mention two teams to you. The Rockies off to a 9-3 start. The Twins are 10-3. Either one of those seem more legit to you? Do you like one of those teams more than the other long-term over these 60 games?
The Twins are definitely legit. They have a really good team. And you know, they got Kenta Maeda in the offseason from the Dodgers, and he was one of those swing guys, a starter, and then also went to the bullpen in the playoffs. He's really been great for the Twins. And, you know, they're going to get Odorizzi back, and they're a solid team. I don't know if they can ever get past the Yankees. It's kind of a monkey on their back, but they're legit. You know, Colorado, I mean, that West, the NL West might be the best division in baseball. I would have never said it going into the season, but they have a bunch of teams out there. I mean, the Dodgers are playing mediocre. You have the Giants, you have the Diamondbacks, you have the Padres who have really done well, and of course, you just mentioned the Rockies. I wouldn't put any team past another. They're going to wind up battling out, but I think the Twins are obviously the most legit. They have the best record, I think, in baseball right now.
Jeff Nelson, obviously the host of Pinstripe Pod, former New York Yankee World Series champion. Jeff, look, this is going to be a homer question for me as a Yankee fan. I've taken a lot of licks on the show from all these Met guys. you know, all over the place about how I really thought the last couple of years the Yankees would put this together and find a way to win a World Series. It won't taste any less sweet for me in a 60-game season if they find a way to do it. But I look around the American League. You mentioned the Twins there. Look, the Red Sox just aren't the same team. The Astros, obviously, no more Gerrit Cole. We see Verlander go down. Would you say it would be a major disappointment and upset if the Yankees are not representing the American League in the World Series this year?
It's always going to be it's always a major upset when they're not representing in any year. But the thing that they have to address, and I think we've seen it through the first 2 weeks, is their starting rotation. They have Gerrit Cole, and they really don't have anyone else. Tanaka, you know, hopefully he'll start building up that arm strength. He's always good in the playoffs. But, you know, Paxton has not looked the same. His velocity's down. I thought, hey, let's see Jordan Montgomery after his first start. But then he got whacked around a little bit by the Phillies yesterday. Jay Happ has just not been good in that rotation. So if anything, you know, they'll wind up addressing it. There's no doubt they're going to address that starting rotation, but that's their weak link right now. Anything can happen because now they have eight teams, and that first round you're going to wind up playing a 2 out of 3 against someone, and you hope that you all of a sudden, you know, don't play poorly for two games and wind up, you know, getting knocked out in that first 2 out of 3.
Great point. Jeff Nelson has been a great guest here this morning on CBS Sports Radio here nationally. He's a four-time World Series champ. He's got a great podcast. Check it out everywhere podcasts are available. It's the Pinstripe Pod. He's got you covered, Yankee baseball, Major League Baseball. You could follow him on Twitter, at NewYorkNelly43. Jeff, thanks for the World Series memories, and thanks for the time this morning. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. And the Mets, you know, they might be okay, so don't worry. Don't panic yet.
They might be okay. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, take care, guys.
Jeff Nelson.
They might not be terrible. Heads up.
Sticking a fork in Bogus in the body where it absolutely hurts. Interesting stuff there, Bogus. So he definitely correlates the ramp-up to the baseball injuries. I thought they were more coincidental, but the more and more pitching injuries that mount, obviously what's happened here. And he brings up a good point about the Marlins and Cardinals throwing against mattresses and ironing boards. What are they going to look like here as this continues to go on after their shutdowns? And I know the Marlins were hot, but maybe that stuff doesn't rear its ugly head right away. So good job by Connor Pook and Nelson there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the takeaway from me, and there is something that we said back at the very beginning of the show, is, you know, baseball very quickly has gotten itself almost at the breaking point here, right? I mean, I don't know that they can withstand, you know, two more teams having to be off the field for another week. I mean, I guess theoretically they can, because we could just have another team have to play 25 games in 20 days and 17 doubleheaders to close out the season. But, you know, the bigger thing is going to be the wear and tear or the ups and downs on all these bodies. And I'm sure the union is paying close attention to all of this to see how things, you know, how they play out. Because as much as we like to have fun with sometimes, I think the overemphasis on, you know, protecting pitchers and building them up and keeping rhythm and getting work and that kind of stuff. Like, yes, sometimes we go overboard, but all of those conversations and those ideas are legitimate because we know what happens if you overwork guys and you do too much or they're not getting regular work. That's how guys get hurt too. So, you know, you cross your fingers that they can get back into a rhythm and stay in that rhythm and avoid any kind of any other issues that might pop up here because of the weird gaps in their schedule.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, when we come back, if you think college football coaches give a damn about your kids over their egos, you got another thing coming, and we have an example of that. Two Big Ten coaches at each other's throats already. It's the DA Show carrying on this Target Demo Friday. Next. Let's go tonight. Share the spots all right.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Still got time to get your Target Demo Fridays in. How you listening? Where you listening? What do you got shaking for this weekend? Go to CBS Sports Radio on Twitter, at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. Maybe some Twitch at Twitch CBS Sports Radio or Facebook.com/TheDA Show. We will read your target demos coming up next. But you know what it is. It's a Friday. It's an Ask the Pros Day. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, Bogish, comes to us from Harrietta Jean in Lansing, Michigan, who asks, guys, who do you side with in the Ryan Day versus Jim Harbaugh fight? Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Harrietta Jean in Lansing, Michigan. A, I want to know if she's a Spartans fan. B, I want to know if she was born after the year 1950 with the name Harrietta Jean, because it certainly sounds old-fashioned, Bogish. But we will, real quickly, before I read the story, I will just tell you I am Team Ryan Day here. I don't know where you are.
Well, I'm normally never Team Ohio State. They're one of my least favorite programs in America. But I'm also in big-time Michigan Harbaugh fatigue. So this is like a this is almost like the Phillies playing the Yankees. There are no winners in this for me right now. But I guess the way Ryan Day has reacted to the story will get him a begrudging W from me.
Yes. Okay, so if you missed this story yesterday, there's a Big Ten conference call. And apparently, Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day, which you like to see a little Michigan-Ohio State rivalry anyway, but apparently this really did get heated, and again, just shows you these guys only give a damn about themselves and their own personas, and they basically are acting like Will Ferrell and Robert Duvall and kicking and screaming, fighting with each other. But anyway, apparently, Jim Harbaugh interrupts Ryan Day during this call in front of, you know, everybody, and accused Ohio State of holding on-field instruction, and that would be a violation of the NCAA rules during COVID-19, which would forbid such practices until today. Harbaugh specifically mentioned a photo of Ohio State linebackers coach Al Washington working with some players. So he's got the evidence. He's had it. He feels like he's following the rules, and how dare Ohio State doesn't. Ryan Day's quick retort: how about I worry about my team and you worry about yours? Ooh. Later in the day, Day told Ohio State players that Michigan should hope for a mercy rule this year because the Buckeyes were going to hang 100 on them. And apparently that was confirmed. And then when asked about this, Ryan Day would not report or would not comment on it. So let me just say this. Harbaugh now trying to point the finger at violations at Ohio State is weak sauce for me. Should Ohio State be doing anything illegal with the NCAA or holding on-field practices or actually caring about their players and spacing during COVID-19? Of course they can. But much like we've talked about today and talked about throughout this entire show through 8 years, Bogish, the NCAA is a dirty, dirty game with these programs and these teams, so of course there's rule-breaking. And I didn't see Jim Harbaugh not caring when other schools and universities couldn't afford to take their kids on a safari to Africa or trance around Europe as a way to basically bring in recruits. Suddenly that was fair game, but we can't have a linebackers coach working out with a couple linebackers on the turf. It's a weak sauce job by Harbaugh.
Yeah, you know, yesterday we talked about the hotlines, right? The NCAA hotline, the NFLPA hotline, and snitches get stitches. And I defended the idea of snitches in this scenario. Like, this is the snitching, the tattletale, the petty stuff that shouldn't happen. Like, if John Harbaugh's that, John or Jim, I have such a terrible time. Again, I always mess it up.
This is Jim.
Even though it's Jim. Because we're
did I say John? Now I'm confused.
I don't know. I definitely just did because I'm an idiot. So Jim Harbaugh. Now, if he sees that picture and goes, "All right, that happened on Tuesday. It's not Friday." Like, if you want to go down this road, then have somebody on your staff send this to the Big Ten office and go, "Is this picture real? If it's real, you know, something should happen." But like, to get on this call, which is as a serious conversation about the season and practice and everything like that, and then to just butt in and drop this in there like some kind of mini tough guy routine is just, it's so on brand, by the way, for what they're doing, and takes me back to the overall point of, like, I just wish that he would shut up and win some football games. I actually like Michigan. Michigan was like my favorite college team growing up. I'd like them to be successful, and they haven't been as successful as they should be, or I thought they were going to be with him in charge, and he keeps doing dumb stuff like this. I would just appreciate a little more quiet and maybe a little tiny bit more focus on actually winning football games, and in particular, beating Ohio State.
And that's the bit, right? So he hasn't been able to beat Ohio State. Michigan clearly struggles in this area of winning big games in the Big Ten. And I would think, as a Michigan fan, I know there are plenty of you listening. I don't know if Harrietta Jean is a Michigan fan, but I know there are plenty listening, and they're going to go one of two ways. Either they're going to go above and beyond because Harbaugh is, you know, Mr. Michigan, and they're going to defend him, or they're going to say, you know what, Jim, shut up. Because now this looks like you're just already pre-excuse-making for your future loss to Ohio State that, well, they worked out 2 weeks earlier than we did, so that's not right. And the old, you worry about your team, I'll worry about mine, I think is classic college coach. It is as if Ryan Day has been coaching in the Big Ten for 20 years as a head coach. It's an unbelievable response. But I think, unless you got money in the bank, or I would even say, I would almost deal with this from a Rutgers or a Maryland, or somebody knows they're going to get their ass whooped every week in the Big Ten anyway, to just kind of say, look, guys, it's bad enough we stink, but do we need you guys skirting the rules? But if you're Michigan, you are supposed to be the number one challenger, with all due respect to Wisconsin and Penn State and Michigan State. You should be the team with Jim Harbaugh as your head coach that is challenging Ohio State the most. And this sounds like excuse-making already, and it's just so weak.
Yeah, I didn't go as far as excuse making, because I mean, if he turned around after they play hopefully October 24th and went, man, they beat us because they had extra practices back in August. I mean, that would be one of the all time nonsensical excuses. I just think this is him being petty and trying to be a tough guy and trying to be like above the law and take this rivalry in a place where it didn't need to go. I mean, it's just. It's like, it's kid stuff. It's like brothers fighting, you know, like annoying tattletaling stuff. And they should be adults. And just, you know, if they're wrong, if something bad's going on, then use the proper channels to report them if you really feel the need to do that. Right. But certainly don't jump into a conference call that has nothing to do with this and point out what may or may not be happening in Columbus.
Yeah, and if you're a parent, as we discussed earlier, with all the opt-outs going on, and you wonder how many coaches give a damn about their players, I can assure you this, Harbaugh complaining is not because he cares about the welfare of kids during COVID-19 on campus. No.
Nope.
This is him and Ryan Day in an arms race to make sure they have the leg up in the Big Ten, and really both of them could honestly care less about the idea that kids may not be safe. I mean, I'm sure they care to an extent, but may not be safe by holding these extra practices, so please spare me. Bogish, on that note, I would like to softly introduce, very sad, your final update of the week.
Thank you, Sean. It'll be tough to get through. But I will do my best. It is sponsored by Geico, proudly by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. The first groups tee off in just about 30 minutes at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It is round two of the PGA Championship. Jason Day and Brendan Todd share the overnight lead at 5-under. Todd tees off at 8:50 Pacific, while Day goes off this afternoon. Tiger Woods has a 1:58 Pacific tee time after yesterday's 2-under 68. 11 threes, 45 points for Damian Lillard last night. His Blazers cooled off the Nuggets, 125-115. Portland now just a half game behind Memphis for eighth in the West. The Rockets took down the Lakers, 113-97. Neither LeBron nor Russell Westbrook played because of minor injuries. And Sixers guard Ben Simmons suffered a dislocated kneecap on Wednesday. He is out indefinitely. You may recall that Braves outfielder Nick Markakis initially opted out of this season, partly because he was so spooked by how sick teammate Freddie Freeman got from COVID-19. Freeman got healthy and is playing, and Markakis says changed his mind. He was back in the lineup last night.
This one's hit in the air to deep right field. This is back towards the chop house, sailing through the sky. It's gone!
Woo-hoo!
Nick Markakis makes it a walk-off here in Atlanta.
That's Jim Powell on Braves Radio. Markakis, a walk-off shot, bottom nine in his first game of the season. Atlanta beats Toronto 4-3. And if you didn't see it, the Braves, with a socially distanced celebration, they came out of the dugout. They surrounded the dirt around home plate, all jumped up in the air, up and down, air high-fiving Markakis as he crossed home plate with the game-winning homer. The Phillies held off the Yankees last night 5-4. The Cubs' six-game run ended in KC 13-2, and the Marlins topped the O's 8-7. That's 4 wins in 3 days in Baltimore after missing 8 fighting off the coronavirus. As we mentioned last hour, Miami defensive end Gregory Rousseau, Penn State linebacker Micah Parsons, and Purdue wideout Rondale Moore all skipping the coming season. The two defenders are first-round picks in the spring. Moore was a first-team All-America 2 seasons ago. Orlando City, a 3-1 win over Minnesota United to reach the MLS's back final. Orlando hasn't made the playoffs in its short MLS history, but now could win this trophy against Portland on Tuesday. The Calgary Flames did away with the Jets last night 4-0, winning their best of 5, 3-1. Columbus took a 2-1 lead on Toronto with a 4-3 OT win. The Leafs led 3-0 midway through the game. Their game 4 is tonight, by the way. Now, it's my little version here of Canadian bacon. Now, you may recall, Sean, how complicated the NHL decided to make its draft lottery this summer because of the shutdown. They left placeholders for the losers of the qualifying round that's going on right now in the first stage of the lottery. One of those placeholders, I believe it was Team E, won that lottery for the number one pick. So now on this coming Monday at 6 Eastern, one of the 8 qualifying round losers, which now includes our Rangers and the Winnipeg Jets, one of them is going to have their ping pong ball pop out of a machine, and they will have the number one pick in the draft. Now, all 8 losers have the equal chance of getting it, and it's just 8 ping pong balls in the hopper. No, you know, multi-poles and different permutations. It's one ball, and that's it. The 7 losers then get picks 9 through 15 in reverse order of their points percentage from when the season stops. So again, I don't really fully still understand why this was so complicated. The internet was going nuts during the first lottery because a placeholder was involved and then won, and maybe we finally get some actual conclusions here on Monday.
And how about this for math, Bogus? That would equate to 12.5% chance for all 8 teams. So how about
that? Correct.
So Ranger and Jet fans, upset you've been eliminated. Maybe you're a Panther fan that might get eliminated a little bit later on today. Just know 12.5% is better than the little Giants. 99 times out of 100 we lose, but there's still one time.
It's a very good way to look at it. And in that case, I'm going to go buy an Alex Lafreniere jersey because he is the assumed number one pick, so that's who you're trying to win on Monday night if you're in this version of the lottery.
How about that? So plenty of Canadian bacon. Is that it, Bogus, on the update?
That's it. I'm done. Back to you, Sean.
All right. So, and by the way, in the middle of that update, my internet did go down one more sec, and my brilliant wife, who I love so dearly, had this nugget from down the stairs. Sean, I think the internet went down again. So thank you so much for your help. This
She's
is the kind of stuff
in.
We've been dealing with. We are earning our way here through a Target demo. All right, when we come back, it is Target Demo Friday. Ghosts willing, Tom Brady goats willing, whatever spirits kinder us. Let's get through Target Demo. Remember, Facebook.com/TheDAShow, where you can leave your Target demos. Twitter at MirazCBS, at Andrew Bogish. We read through your Target demos and your epic fail next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
Target demo Friday, Bogues. We have made it. It's a Friday summer on the DA show day. DA back for the full week next week. I say goodbye, so this will be my last Target demo Friday for 2 weeks. Kevin tweets in at us, don't sleep on at Connor_Green51, fellas. The boss is away. Perfect time to put his master plan into motion. First step in his sports radio NWO, sabotage the competition. So that's Kevin saying that Connor Green is basically taking out our lines and our internet to try to find a way on, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. We get it, Kevin. We're all doomed. Our days are numbered. Steven is on Facebook in Idaho, listening on the Next radio app. He is working and waiting for me to say pro boner again. So there you go, Steven. Pro boner.
Another Kevin tweets in, listening here in Zanesville, Ohio on radio.com, rebuilding diesel engines and getting ready for the weekend. Way to hang in there early, guys. Rough start. And might I add, how nice is it to have real sports back? It's great. And Kevin basically equates our 6 a.m. hour to us giving up 4 home runs in the first and having to go to the bullpen. But we've survived and rallied for 11 runs to win the game.
Yeah, if this is the next morning, I'd be saying that he scattered 8 hits and 4 runs over 6 because he gave them all up in the first inning and then nothing after that. Danny's on Facebook listening the same way from the same place while doing the same thing I always do when I check in on Friday mornings. My life's so boring, even though he's listening to us. Thanks, Danny.
We really encourage you to bring out the best in everybody, huh? Our friend Alien OG, who runs very hot and cold when me and you fill in Bogus. He's a big DA homer, seems to not like us, but he did tweet in on our this day in a mothership history. That drunk chick, Hurricane Jen, reminds me of my girlfriend back in my 20s. Bringing back bad memories, fellas. A sweet little redhead for Alien OG, huh?
I hate my ex-husband.
Gumaro Sandoval is listening on Sports Radio 970 Central Valley, California, going fishing with my father-in-law. Go Oakland A's. Yeah, the A's, I think it's what, 6 in a row now. Matt Olson's crushing it, wearing those beautiful green jerseys yesterday. A's all in early on in the AL West.
Get him out.
The Todd Father tweets in Bogish at our GIF or our meme or whatever you want to call it. It's my face on Peter Schwartz's body covering the Super Bowl. It looks like at Schwartz Sports, we woke the beast there. He tagged them. And at Mraz CBS had a baby, and this is the final product. Which then prompted Schwartz to say, quote, blocked, right back at TK. So didn't take that joke seriously, which then on a Target demo Friday prompted me to respond. That was Andrew Kaplan's great work at AJ Kaplan, thinking we would get a laugh out of Schwartz. And instead, on a Target demo Friday, we got one of these from Pete. Well, now he's on my bleep list. So there you go. Yeah. A guy filled on 500 dino nuggets, a lot of pasta, and a lot of Coke. Not happy with Kaplan on our Target demo meme this morning, Bogues.
Mm-hmm. I like stuffing.
Last one from me from Facebook. I believe it's Darrell. Maybe it's Daryl. I apologize in advance for messing it up. He's listening on radio.com in Moran, Kansas, doing some paperwork. Going to finish some landscaping around the house and then watch hockey. Go Knights. How about the Golden Knights being big in Moran, Kansas? Go Knights, go.
I love that. Kansas loves the Knights. And I got two more that I'll rip through here on Twitter, Bogues. Montreal Spos at Expos 1983. You want to talk about Vegas Golden Knight fans in Kansas? He's checking in from Vegas on CBS Sports Radio 1140, the Expos in Vegas. He's
got to have the French checking in.
Yes, got to have the French toast and hockey all day. Thank goodness it's Friday. How about that? Hockey and French toast. That is good because there are players from Europe, obviously, and the French toast is the toast that came from Europe. So why not combine the two and eat it during hockey? I'm not so sure we get the same kind of French toast in France. I'm going to have to one day go to France to figure that out. But a little cinnamon swirl, a little bread dipped in egg. Who doesn't love that with some puck? And also Lonnie, our good friend Lonnie, great listener, tweets in, I'm at work in Arizona listening on radio.com app. Love the show. This weekend, I'm planning on getting some good burgers. Love you guys. You guys rock. And yes, our This Date Mothership History, as we alerted to, was Hurricane Jen giving us the good burgers, maybe some shrimp cocktail. And if I were to ask you pre-show and poll the audience, how many years ago to this day did that happen? I don't think anybody would have said that was 1 year ago today we got the good burgers out of Hurricane Jen. And it shows you these 12 months, and really last 5 months, have been quite the slow crawl. Really have been.
Good burgers.
Well, it also tells you just how many things happen on this show that we have to move on so quickly from them because something new is happening that it makes them seem longer ago. If there's only a handful of these moments, I think we have a better idea of when they happened. But because they're rapid fire, whether it's callers, listeners, tweets, Schwartz, your geography and language skills, angry Bilotti, me messing up updates, whatever, you know, whatever it is, they're just one after the other. So it creates, in theory, a lot of space between them when really they all happened in a short amount of time.
And that is your target demo Friday. And Bogus, that is the beauty of the show. And I hate to pat us on the back because it all stems from silliness. But the fact that that news cycle of crazy moments on this show keeps on churning, and it should be noted here as we approach mid-August, guys, we have like 40 candidates for the 12 DAs of Christmas, which is insane. Absolutely insane. That's how long this year has been. The 12 DAs are going to be wild. And we might have to get a little more head start on editing and putting together the list this year just based on the fact that, well, this year has been very stretched us thin. But the 12 DAs watch, if you want to get in and get in on listening for a crazy moment, we still have, you know, a couple months here. We could have 50 moments we have to boil down to 12, which is going to be insane. There's going to be a lot stuck in the chimney for Pete to play. So if you want to look ahead to think about better times in the holidays, the 12 DAs this year are going to be absolute madness. Happy being alive day. All right. I feel like DA right now, and maybe this is apropos for a big word today, because I have reached that point where I go to toss to the epic fail, and I've thought about so many things that I have forgotten what the epic fail is, and I alerted Connor to it. I believe, I'm going to guess here, that it's our entire first hour being sabotaged by either ghosts or the Tom Brady goat. It could be a caller, it could be something, but whatever it is, it's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
How much mental energy he's got to put in learning a new playbook, and spare me. We know the reason.
Looks like we have some technical issues on Sean's line here. So just a second. He's frozen on my video feed.
A few minutes later.
A fun start to the morning.
Is he gone again? Right on cue? He was just going to reset his technical problems. And, like, this is an amazing thing.
5 minutes later.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I probably would have said something similar to that.
All right, now we've lost Andrew Bogus.
A few minutes later.
Bogus, I believe, is back. Bogus, we're a half an hour into the show. What the heck's going on?
What the hell's going on out here?
I mean, this has been a magical opening 35 minutes today. What else could happen, knock on wood?
Oh, my goodness, Bogus. I just thought of it. We poked the ghost yesterday. Remember our conversation about ghosts and how why would you stay in a crummy hotel in Milwaukee? You could be on the Caribbean. You could be anywhere you want. And ghosts could travel anywhere they want. We really mocked the idea of ghosts yesterday. Now, you mean to tell me I get knocked off the air twice and you get knocked off the air once? I think we're getting invaded by ghosts.
A ghost!
I think we're getting invaded by ghosts.
This is what a real ghost sounds like.
All right, we're going to have to take a break.
It's on the table. I will say that because the second time you disappeared, I was saying how amazing the timing was because you were just about to make light of the fact that you had lost your connection once already. And as you began to say that sentence, you disappeared again.
The invasion of ghosts.
And then here's me, three words into a sentence, and boom, I'm gone, like somebody on purpose is listening and then hitting the switch at the exact same time.
Oh, a ghost!
Just maybe we've got a gremlin or two that's got that has us in their crosshairs right now because we ran our mouths yesterday.
The invasion of ghosts.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bogus, wild morning. Connor just showing off his epic fail skills with some of those drops. That was better than anyone I've produced over the last 2 weeks. That got me to laugh. And when I hear a good Pete laugh in my ear, I know that Connor's gotten him to laugh too. So look, I'm on vacation next week. DA returns. The following week, I believe we lose a Bogus and a Bilotti for a week. Then it's me and DA the whole week. So you won't get a me and you again, Bogus, together without DA for another 3 weeks. The summer of love really continues.
And I believe on Monday the 17th that DA is out as well. That was the one where he was like, oh, sorry, yeah. Bogus, I'm taking that day, as if I had to un-vacation myself for that one. So that Monday, August 17th, it's just you and Connor, I believe.
Yeah, and I Kaplan might have bailed by then too. Who knows? So, yeah, anything goes the next couple weeks. But, guys, look, this is the beauty of the continuity and so many voices on this show. What the DA show has really become, this kind of morning wackiness, is that one way or another, you're getting one of us, some of us, both of us, all of us going on to keep some continuity. So keep it locked here. The DA show is going to power through the NBA bubble and the NFL training camps and baseball and hockey and all of that and continue on. So Connor Green, great job on the fail. Connor Green will take over Canadian bacon next week with me off. So I did want to get this on record. I have already booked for next week NASCAR 8th place driver Eric Almirola. I've booked Joe Montana, and I've booked Greg Anthony. So those do not count on Connor's record. I don't want to hear it. Connor Green, great job executive producing. He's going to kill it next week. Great job by Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan, the wizard of WatchDA.com. I don't know why I just said it like that. And Twitch. This is me. This is my router saying goodbye. Bogus, fun week as always, my man. I guess I'll see you in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever.
We'll probably miss you, Sean.
We'll miss you. All right. That'll do it. Have a great weekend, everyone. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.